Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Corruption, Crime, and Compliance. Today, we're discussing a major export controls enforcement action in which Bosch agreed to pay more than $43 million for illegally exporting products and software to Huawei, one of the most heavily restricted companies under U.S. export control regulations. This case offers important lessons on the foreign direct product rule, compliance program failures, and the first ever declination issued under DOJ's revised National Security Division corporate enforcement policy. Let's start with the basics. Bosch agreed to pay approximately $32.5 million to the Bureau of Industry and Security, BIS, and more than $11 million in disgorgement to the Department of Justice to resolve allegations involving unlawful exports to Huawei and Huawei affiliates. In total, the resolution exceeds $43 million. The transactions involved approximately $70 million in sensors and another $1.9 million in automotive software products sold through Bosch subsidiaries between 2020 and 2024. Now, what makes this case especially interesting and important is that the products involved were classified as EAR 99 items. Many companies assume that EAR 99 products present relatively low export control risk. This case demonstrates why that assumption can be dangerous. The issue was not the classification of the products. The issue was the customer, the end user. Huawei has been subject to enhanced restrictions under BIS's foreign direct product rule since 2020. The FTP rule dramatically expanded U.S. jurisdiction over certain foreign-made products. Even when products are manufactured outside the United States and classified as EAR 99, they still may require BIS authorization if they are produced using specified U.S. software, technology, or manufacturing equipment and are destined for a restricted party such as Huawei. According to BIS, Bosch repeatedly misunderstood this requirement. The agency found that Bosch compliance personnel confused the FTP rule with the EAR's de minimis rule. Those are very different concepts. The de minimis rule focuses on the amount of controlled U.S. content incorporated into a product. The FTP rule focuses on how a product was produced and whether U.S. technology, software, or equipment was used in the production process. That misunderstanding led Bosch personnel to conclude incorrectly that licenses were not required for Huawei transactions. What makes the case, though, particularly troubling is that Bosch received multiple warnings. Suppliers informed Bosch personnel that Huawei transactions implicated the FTP rule. Contract manufacturers required certifications acknowledging Huawei's footnote 1 status under the entity list. The compliance certification specifically prohibited unlicensed transactions involving footnote 1 entities. And perhaps most importantly, the industry was already focused on BIS's landmark Seagate enforcement action involving Huawei. Despite these warning signs, Bosch continued relying on its original analysis and continued shipping products to Huawei. For compliance professionals, this is a critical lesson. Compliance failures rarely rise from a single mistake. More often, they occur when organizations fail to revisit assumptions despite receiving information suggesting those assumptions may be incorrect. So the Bosch case highlights the importance of challenge mechanisms within compliance programs. Compliance advice should not be treated as static. It must be reviewed, tested, updated, and challenged when new facts emerge. BIS also emphasized another important point. Compliance resources matter. According to the agency, Bosch's U.S. export compliance function consisted of only two employees, with one person effectively responsible for advising global operations on U.S. export control requirements. That structure proved inadequate given the complexity of modern export controls and the rapidly evolving rules targeting Huawei and other restricted entities. Companies need sufficient compliance staffing, experienced personnel, ongoing training, and access to specialized legal expertise when necessary. Now let's turn to what may be the most significant aspect of this case, DOJ's declination. Despite more than 100 export control violations, DOJ declined criminal prosecution. Why? Because Bosch voluntarily disclosed the conduct, fully cooperated with investigators, and implemented extensive remediation measures. DOJ specifically cited Bosch's preservation of evidence, proactive disclosure of facts and documents, disciplinary actions, organizational changes, expansion of compliance resources, and enhancement of internal policies and procedures. This is the first declination issued under DOJ's revised National Security Division corporate enforcement policy. The message could not be clearer. Companies that identify violations, promptly self-disclose, cooperate fully, and undertake meaningful remediation can significantly reduce criminal enforcement exposure. That does not mean there'll be no consequences. Bosch still paid more than $43 million and had to disgorge $11 million with the DOJ settlement. But it avoided criminal prosecution and the collateral consequences that often accompany criminal resolutions. The key lessons from this case are straightforward. First, understand the foreign direct product rule and its broad extraterritorial reach. Second, ensure compliance personnel possess sufficient expertise and resources. Third, establish processes for revisiting compliance determination when facts change or concerns are raised. Fourth, treat supplier certifications and industry enforcement actions as potential red flags requiring review. And finally, recognize the tremendous value of voluntary self-disclosure, cooperation, and remediation when compliance failures occur. The Bosch case provides a powerful reminder that export controls remain a top national security enforcement priority. Thanks for joining me, and I'll look forward to speaking with you again soon.